It's a great honor, it really is, to be not just with our friends, but with you all. And I'm still wondering how I should be asked to speak to you. I hope it is of some value.
Den stor ære at bare være sammen med vores venner, som bor her, men også sammen med jer. Og det er en stor ære for mig at få lov til at tale til jer.
So would you pray briefly with me?
Så vil I bede sammen med mig.
Dear God, may what I say reflect your truths, the things that you want these good people to hear. May I be faithful.
Himmelske Far, jeg beder dig om, at du vil tale også dit ord til os, og også tale ind i hjerten på de mennesker, der lytter til mig i dag.
When Sven asked me to talk, I was a little reluctant, because I'm not a theologian. I should say that to you.
Da Sven spurgte mig om at tale her i dag, så var jeg lidt tilbageholdende, fordi jeg ikke er uddannet teolog.
And then I said to him, Sven, you've known me a long time, because I think we live in an age when people are looking for real grit and people's true stories.
Så Sven, du kender, har kendt mig i lang tid, og fordi jeg tror, at mennesker i dag virkelig kigger efter en dyb integritet i mennesker, og ønsker at forstå deres historie.
I feel I should tell my story and how I came to see that there were answers to the three big questions that troubled me.
Så tænkte jeg på at dele min historie, og hvordan jeg kom til at se svarene på de store spørgsmål, der gjorde mig urolig.
Many of you will have very big questions you've had to work through. They may not be quite the same as mine.
Mange af jer har haft flere forskellige spørgsmål, som I skulle arbejde igennem. De er sikkert ikke de samme som mine.
But in a social media age, particularly for you young people, perhaps not so much in Denmark, I can't speak for Denmark, but in our culture, you're expected to be perfect. And it seems that everybody's life is perfect. And you really wonder about your own.
Og i en tid med social media, så, og specielt for os, eller for jer unge, så er det som om kravene, der stilles til os, at være fuldkomne, fordi alle andre præsenterer sig selv som fuldkomne.
But actually, I think life at times is very tough and throws up great questions. And the three for me have been, why suffering?
Så jeg synes alligevel, at livet er virkelig barsk, og nogle gange kaster op forskellige problemstillinger, som for eksempel, hvorfor er der så meget lidelse?
Does anybody care?
Er der nogen, der overhovedet har empati for det, eller omsorg for det?
And will it lead somehow to a better place where suffering ends and the wounds are bound up?
Og vil det overhovedet lede til et punkt, hvor lidelse ophører, og hvor de sår, som vi har fået i livet, bliver helet.
So not long after Sven and I met at the King's School in Sydney.
Så ikke så lang tid efter Sven og jeg kom på skole sammen i Sydney.
In the Easter break, Easter Monday of 1970. There you are, Lena. You see, I'm now very old.
Så på anden påskedag, mandag i 1970. Lena har afsløret, hvor gammel jeg er.
And he is even older.
Han er tre måneder ældre.
We're at home for Easter from boarding school, and my father was a very gifted sportsman.
Og jeg var hjemme fra kostskole, og min far var landmand, var også en rigtig dygtig sportsmand.
And he would finish his farm work every afternoon in time for us to go and practice rifle shooting.
Og han ville slutte sit arbejde om eftermiddagen, og så ville vi tage ud sammen og øve os i at skyde.
Or boxing.
Eller bokse.
Or cricket, which he particularly loved.
Eller cricket, som han elskede.
Yes. Do Danes understand cricket? Because
no, Danes don't. danskere forstår ikke så meget cricket.
I think you are entirely human if you do not understand cricket. But yeah. It is played with a bat made of willow.
Det er en bat, som er en hård bat,
and a ball known as a six stitcher, which is very hard and heavy.
Og en bold, som er meget hård og også tung.
So Easter Monday 1970, my father and I start to play cricket. He is a complete natural, and suddenly he's bowling to me, and I hit the sweet spot. I've finally learnt somehow, something has clicked.
Og så han er helt naturlig i det her, og så han kommer op for at kaste bolden. Kaste bolden mod mig. Og jeg på en eller anden mirakuløs måde får lov til at slå den her bold, som den virkelig skal slås.
And I could see the smile playing on my father's face. The boy's finally got it.
Og jeg så smilet tænde på min fars ansigt, og det gik op for ham. Endelig har drengen fattet det.
Out on our big front lawn.
Og ude på vores store græsplæne.
I was sending balls everywhere. We spent more time chasing them than I did hitting them, and my father was very happy. And so was I.
Og jeg battede, og det hele gik så utrolig godt, og min far var lykkelig.
When tragedy struck.
Så skete det.
My younger sister, who was not much younger than me, she was born only 14 months after me.
Og min yngre søster, som er kun 14 måneder yngre end mig,
was watching the father she adored and the older brother who was slowly convincing her that he was worthy of being adored too.
Og så hun på den far, som hun elskede, og så på den dreng, som er ved at gøre sig også elsket af sin far.
Was sitting a long way away, perhaps out on the corner of the road, a long way away, playing with a little black kitten, watching.
Og sad ude på lige så langt som vejen er her og legede med en lille killing.
I belted a ball.
Og jeg skød en bold. Så hårdt.
She looked up.
Og hun kiggede op.
And saw it coming towards her.
Og så den her bold bevæge sig mod hende.
She turned away in self-defense, and the ball caught her in the back of the neck.
Hun vendte sig om, sådan for at beskytte sig selv, og bolden ramte hende bag i nakken.
She staggered to her feet and made a few short paces. My father ran to her, and she died in his arms.
Og hun rejste sig op og gik et par skridt, og så faldt hun død om i min fars hænder. Arme.
My childhood was over immediately. It ended.
Der endte min barndom.
And I went to a place of extraordinary loneliness because I thought no one else has been here, even though everyone was so good to me.
Og jeg gik ind i et sted af dyb ensomhed, fordi jeg følte, ingen har nogensinde været her, selvom alle var meget søde imod mig.
And it was the beginning of a long, hard journey when, as a young person, as I said to Sven last night, I wanted to be the boy who wasn't there.
Yeah. Så det var en lang rejse for mig, og jeg kom tilbage til skolen og var den dreng, som egentlig ikke ønskede overhovedet nogen opmærksomhed.
But it led me to ask those big questions, which is where I want to go now, because many of you will have experienced pain, will have seen it, will be asking big questions.
Og så var det, at nogle af jer vil også komme ind i smerte, og I vil også begynde at stille nogle af de spørgsmål, som jeg stillede.
Why suffering? When we look on our television sets, the first of a three-sided triangle, why suffering? When we look at what is happening in Ukraine, we're reminded again of how dreadful suffering can be.
Når vi ser på lidelse og vi ser det der sker i Ukraine, så tænker vi, hvorfor overhovedet sker det her?
And I grappled deeply with this question. I think my father decided there can't be a God who cares.
Og min far, for ham gik det op for det. Jeg tror ikke der kan være en Gud der har omsorg.
As many do in those terrible circumstances.
Ligesom mange andre gør i sådan nogle frygtelige situationer.
But for others, and I was one of them as a young person, I couldn't believe that it could just be random. There must be explanations.
Og som en ung person, så kunne jeg ikke tænke mig på, at det kunne bare være tilfældigheder. Der må være nogen et svar på alt det her.
And if it's just a clash of atoms, all an accident, why do I feel that pain and why does it matter?
Og hvis det bare er tilfældige atomer, der rammer sammen, så hvorfor oplever jeg den dybe smerte og den uvirkelighed og meningsløshed i alt det her?
And at the school we were at, there were people who were able to help me unpack what had happened. And I'm eternally thankful for that.
Og på vores skole, der var der nogen i skolen, nogle lærere, der var havde evnen til at hjælpe os til at pakke det her ud.
It wasn't meant to be that way.
Det her er ikke meningen, at det skal være sådan her.
It wasn't in God's plan. God's plan was that we would be celebrating him, as the Scottish Presbyterians have it, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Det var Guds mening, at noget helt andet skulle være menneskets lod. Og det er, at som skotterne siger, at vores mening med vores eksistens er at ære Gud og nyde ham i al evighed.
And Genesis tells us that God thought it was good when he'd finished creating everything, including us.
Og Gud, der står i 1. Mosebog, at Gud, når han så på det hele fuldkomment, så glædede han sig over det.
But we broke everything when we decided that no, we won't worship you, God. I will be God over my life. That is the story of Adam.
Men det hele blev brudt, da vi mennesker besluttede, at nej, Gud, du skal ikke være Gud over mit liv. Jeg vil være Gud over mit liv.
And I believe our decision to go our own way grieved God hugely, but he let us go. He didn't want robots.
Og jeg tror, at vores beslutning har såret Gud ubeskriveligt. Men han lod os gå, fordi Gud ønsker ikke robotter.
With a warning, this may not end well. We broke the world. The world has been broken by our insistence on being God. And the problem, Sven, is that when I am God and you are God, we have a clash. And you'll win.
Så vores problem er, at når vi beslutter at være Gud i vores eget liv, og du beslutter at være Gud i dit liv, så vil vi konfrontere hinanden, og det vil være den stærke, der vinder.
So even though we humans still bear the mark of God, as the French philosopher Blaise Pascal put it, we're all a combination of nobility and scum, each one of us.
Mm. Og selvom vi stadig bærer Guds billede på os, så er vi, som Blaise Pascal siger, er vi både ædelhed og også frygtelig skamløshed.
We have a broken world, and that is tragic. It's not the complete answer to suffering. I will never know why me, why then, why was I not the one killed, and my sister who lived to tell the story. It's not the complete answer. I won't know it until I meet God.
Mm. Og selvom det ikke er det endelige svar, at det her, som jeg lige har forklaret nu, at vores brydende Gud har gjort, at lidelse kom ind i verden, så er det sådan, at der er stadig så mange spørgsmål. Hvorfor var det ikke mig, der døde, og min søster stod her og fortalte den her historie?
But it means it's not all hopeless. It's not all just a giant cosmic accident.
Men det stadig fortæller os i Guds regi, at det hele ikke bare en stor kosmisk ligegyldighed eller gåde.
So the second part of the triangle, does anybody out there understand? Do they care? Do they care enough to do something about it? Can they do anything about it?
Så den anden del af trekanten er der overhovedet nogen derude, som gør noget ved det her? Og kan de overhovedet gøre noget ved det her?
Well, yes. Yes. Jesus Christ.
Ja, det er der. Det er derfor vi fejrer Jesus Kristus.
If I think what happened to me was somehow unfair, unreasonable, how infinitely worse and less fair was what happened to Jesus when in his innocence he was subjected to a mock trial and put on a cross.
Og hvis jeg synes, at livet går mig imod, og det er synd for mig, og det er ikke retfærdigt, hvad så, når vi sammenligner os med Jesus, som blev sat på, ja, kom ind i retten og blev beskyldt for ting, som ikke var, han ikke var skyldig om, og så blev henrettet på grund af de ting.
And if you have felt searing pain in your life, and I have felt searing pain in my life, how much greater must his have been to have the entire world, people he loved enough to die for, prepared to so rig a trial and condemn him to death?
Hvordan måtte Jesus have mærket det, når de mennesker, som han kom og han elskede, skulle lave sådan en retssag for at dømme ham til døden, selvom han var uskyldig?
And if I felt lonely and no one understood me, how did the God who created us, for Jesus was perfect man and perfect God, feel about being cast out by his own creation?
Og hvordan hvis jeg følte, at det gjorde ondt og var i den dybe ensomhed, hvordan har Herren Jesus så følt det, når han har mærket at blive drevet ud på den måde?
So Jesus has gone to a place of greater pain, infinitely greater.
Og Jesus ved at bære alle vores skyld er gået til en smerte, som er langt, langt dybere end det jeg nogensinde vil kunne opleve.
Of infinitely greater loneliness.
Evindelig større ensomhed.
Of agonizing physical pain.
Af utrolig menneskelig smerte.
And of the agony of being separated, not only from the people he loved, but above all from God, who cannot look on sin.
Og ikke bare være adskilt fra de mennesker, som han elskede, men også adskilt fra sin himmelske far, som måtte skille ham fra ham på grund af den synd, som han bar.
So we cannot take lightly what we celebrated on Friday, that innocent as he was, he took our sins upon himself on that cross. We cannot, we must not make light of this vastly significant event.
Så vi må virkelig reflektere dybden af, hvad langfredag betyder, at hvad det kostede Jesus at bære det kors for os.
Had Jesus, however, remained in the grave having taken our sins for us, all would have been lost, as Paul says in Corinthians. If Jesus has not risen, we are to be pitied above all else, for we are still lost in our sins.
For hvis Jesus kun havde båret vores synd og båret vores smerte og taget det ned i graven med sig og ikke er opstået, så, som Paulus siger, så måtte vi være alle mennesker de mest dumme, dårfulde af mennesker at tro på det.
And so the third try, part of the triangle, why suffering, does anybody understand, will the pain end? Hallelujah, yes, he's risen, it will.
Så den tredje del af den her trekant, det er svaret til spørgsmål, vil den her smerte nogensinde slutte? Ja, halleluja, Jesus er opstanden.
We are in good company because we have great difficulty seeing it, but so did those who'd lived and worked with Jesus.
Vi er i godt selskab, fordi selv dem, som arbejdede sammen med Jesus, fattede ikke, hvad han gjorde.
They had missed all the references in the Old Testament to the Messiah. The Psalm 68, where there's a prediction that women would cry out that he is risen, They'd point the way to it. And they did. Those remarkable women.
Yeah.
Who, when the men were all cowering and defeated and believing that the Messiah was not the hoped for Messiah was not the Messiah, the women's loyalty, you girls are so good at that. We have so much to learn from you. It was alive and well. And they stuck by him. And they ran out, would have left before dark to get to that tomb.
So selvom
sorry, have I said something?
Så selvom at de havde ikke fattet det, der stod i det gamle testamente om, at Messias skulle lide, og havde ikke læst de mange profetier om, hvad der skulle ske. Selv de profetier, der er i salme 68, der fortæller om, at kvinderne skulle råbe ud, at han er opstanden. Og hvor er vi taknemmelige for kvinderne, fordi de er dem, som er ofte meget mere loyale end os mænd. Og de bar det her budskab ind i verden for os.
Have you covered up for a mistake? What did I say?
Yeah.
Ah, sorry. Job. You remember the story of Job? He suffered incredibly. He predicted it would come to an end. I know that my Redeemer lives. And that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. They didn't know their Old Testament.
So, hvis I husker historien om Job, så om den her mand, som led ubærligt. Men så står der i Job kapitel 19 om det her, at dog ved jeg, at min løser lever. Til sidst vil han stå frem. Når min hud er skrællet af, når mit kød er taget bort, skal jeg skue Gud. Ham skal jeg skue. Ham og ingen anden skal mine øjne se. Mit indre fortæres af længsel.
And neither did the women, let alone those dopey men that were all hiding away, get what Jesus himself had said was going to happen.
Og selv kvinderne, loyale som de var, og de dårfulde mænd, som gemte sig væk, de forstod heller ikke, hvad der skulle ske.
And they had to be reminded that he had said it was necessary for him to die, to take our sins, the sins of the entire world, all of yours, all of mine, even the sins of an Adolf Hitler, if he'd repented. It's beyond my comprehension.
Mm.
But he took them all. He took them all on himself and buried them in the crucifixion.
Og sådan er det, at Jesus han bar hele verdens synd. Ikke bare mine og Stine. Selv en Adolf Hitler, hvis han omvendte sig, så ville det være sådan, at så ville der kun være tilgivelse for den skyld og den skam.
And so, in conclusion, I want to say three things about the greatest story ever told.
Og så her til at opsummere, vil jeg sige tre ting om den største og den vigtigste historie, der nogensinde er blevet fortalt.
The first is that we have a bigger problem than we've realized. So bad that the worst, most unjust and cruelest punishment ever was meted out to Jesus.
Mm. Så vi har en problemstilling, at al den smerte og al den ulykke, som vi har gjort, er blevet lagt på Jesus Kristus.
To pay for those sins.
Og han skulle betale for det, du og jeg ikke kan betale.
But the second is to say that we are so unbelievably and wonderfully loved, every person in this room and out on the streets as well.
Og det andet at sige, det er, at vi er så utrolig elsket. Både alle os, som er i det her værelse, men også alle dem, som ser på det her eller ude på gaden.
In an age that tells us to look within to find ourselves, if we'll look out and see Jesus, we actually do find ourselves lost in the love of the eternal God.
Og i en tid, som kalder på os alle sammen til at kigge indvendigt for at finde ud af, hvem vi er, så kalder skriften os til at kigge udad på Jesus og finde os selv i den kærlighed, som han har for os.
So we celebrate today that the wounds are being bound up. The pain is drawing to an end.
Så vi fejrer i dag, at vores sår bliver bundet op, og at smerten er ved at aftage.
Those sins and that death were not able to restrain Jesus. He was raised to life again.
Synden og døden kunne ikke fastholde Jesus. Han opstod fra de døde.
He lives and has gone on to be with his Father.
Han lever og er nu hos sin far.
Where he has promised there are many rooms.
Hvor han har lovet os, at der er mange boliger.
And if we will but believe and place our trust in him, having repented, there's a room earmarked for every one of us.
Og hvis vi vender os om og tro og stoler på ham, så er der også en bolig for os i al evighed.
Where we will find what we're really looking for, that incredible promise of Jesus.
Og hvor vi vil finde det, som vi dybest set alle længes efter, den dybe løfte, som Jesus har til os.
That he will not half fill our cup with joy.
Han vil ikke bare halvt fylde vores kop med glæde.
He will not fill it with joy.
Han vil ikke bare fylde den med glæde.
Rather, he will ensure that it continually overflows with joy.
Men han vil sikre, at den bliver ved med at flyde over med glæde.
So whatever little pain in relative terms we have suffered.
Så hvad end den smerte, som vi har mærket.
We celebrate today that Jesus went through infinitely more than we could ever ourselves imagine ourselves coping with.
Vi kan fejre, at Jesus gik langt dybere igennem, end vi nogensinde kan fatte.
In order that we might find the joy and the completeness that we all long for in our lives.
Og i ham finde den glæde og den fuldendelse af vores liv, som vi alle sammen længes efter.
God bless you.
Må Gud velsigne jer.